Every so often life will bring to you a situation question that demands that you make a decision.
Come on now.
Life has a way of backing you up against the wall sometimes and drawing a clear line in the sand. Are you with me?
Yeah. Come on.
And you're required to choose between two mutually exclusive events or situations. Every so often, you'll find yourself in those places where there is no gray area.
Come on.
There's no middle ground. There's no compromise. There is no both and. There simply is or there is not. Mm-hmm. And you have to make a decision on where you stand.
Yeah.
Are you following
me?
Even today in our own political climate, I'm not a political preacher. It doesn't have any place here. But in our political climate, there are decisions that must be made. Amen?
Yeah.
Where do you stand on abortion? Where do you stand on gun reform? Where do you stand on stem cell research? How do you feel about the Affordable Care Act? There are decisions that need to be made.
Yeah.
I know this isn't what you came to hear, but I promise if you stay awake long enough, Willie, this will make sense. Some decisions in our life are not deep or life-shaping. Some are simple. If you grew up in my generation, we faced some tough decisions.
Yeah.
What order to record songs on a mixtape?
Yeah.
Batman or Superman, Hulk Hogan or Randy Savage, Dynasty or Dallas, Prince or Michael Jackson, Luther or Marvin Gaye, Biggie or Tupac, New Edition with Bobby Brown and New Edition without, and my biggest, Coke or Pepsi. Life is filled with difficult decisions that must be made, but somebody say but. Say but. But the one thing that will shape your life the most is not attached to your political or your sports leanings. Today, brothers and sisters, I want to challenge you. The biggest important decision that you'll ever make is where you stand on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Either you reject it or you believe it. There's no middle ground and there is no in between. Either you believe it or you don't. Are you with me? The only thing that is important and necessary, it caused Paul to write a letter to the church at Corinth.
Yeah.
Now see, we have to understand our history. The Corinthian church was one of Paul's most successful ministry endeavors.
That's right.
It was successful. It was very successful. It had experienced exponential growth in numbers and spiritual gifts.
Yeah, come on.
But in spite of this, there were great problems in the church.
Yes,
not unlike many of us today. The church at Corinth was divided among many issues.
Yeah.
Sound familiar? Some liked the preaching of Paul, and some of them preferred Apollos. They had debates on the Lord's Supper and appropriate use of spiritual gifts. Does it sound familiar?
Yes, yes.
We're still talking about it today. But the biggest divide in the church that caused Paul to put pen to paper is when he got wind of the church.
That's right.
Debating the validity of the resurrection of the dead. So why? Why the question? Why this? Why are these Christians debating the validity of the resurrection of the dead?
Come on.
History tells us that many members of the church at Corinth had originally been influenced by Grecian philosophy of a man named Plutarch.
Yeah.
Plutarchian theology argued that the great existence of an eternal soul comes when it is liberated by death from the flesh. So the theology rejected the resurrection of the dead based on the grounds that the resurrection of the dead would then encase the soul in flesh again and it would lock it down. Stay with me. When the word got to Paul that the Christians were being swayed, he writes them this letter that we find in 1 Corinthians. And he says, if Jesus did really arise from the dead, it places him far above other people who have ever lived. And it establishes Christianity as the only, the one, and the only path to God. The one and the only.
Yeah.
The resurrection defies logic and reason, and some suggest that somebody stole his body.
Come on now.
We've heard it, right?
Amen.
That would explain an empty tomb. Somebody went in there and took it. Others suggested he never really died on the cross. He was just unconscious, but he woke up 3 days later. There's no other doctrine of faith that is so vital to us than that of the resurrection.
That's right.
Our faith stands based upon the truth of the resurrection. If Jesus is dead, then we are all April Fools.
Amen.
So Paul wrote a letter to the church to assure them that Jesus was indeed alive. And believing that he rose from the dead was vital to their faith.
Yeah.
Believing that he rose from the dead is vital to your faith.
Yeah.
So are we fools if we believe that the Bible would be a hoax if Jesus was dead, wouldn't it?
Preach.
Jesus made many claims, many of them outrageous. He claimed to be the Messiah. He claimed to be the Son of God. He claimed to have the authority to forgive sins, to be king and to be Lord and to be worthy of equal praise to the Father. The resurrection validates these claims that Jesus made himself.
Come on.
If the resurrection didn't take place, then Jesus would be alive.
Come on now.
Either he is who he claimed to be or he isn't. It's that simple. But the Bible in Acts 2 and 24 says there, Peter preached these words, from whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he could be held by it. Men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried in his tomb with us this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him that the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne. And he's right now sitting at the right hand of God. If Jesus didn't really raise from the dead, then the preaching of his disciples was pure foolishness. But in 50 places in the New Testament, Jesus showed himself after he got up. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul states that the resurrection of Jesus appeared to Peter and James. And then the other disciples. 500 people saw it. And they were alive when their account was given. There'd be no salvation if Jesus is dead. Paul told the Corinthian church, if Jesus didn't rise, then we're lost in our sins and we're without hope of eternal life. That doesn't make sense, though.
Come on, preach to
us. If all we have is right here, you may as well live it up.
Come on now.
Amen.
Paul says in Romans chapter 10 that the resurrection is something we must believe in order to be saved. When Christ called out, it is finished. He didn't mean that the redemption was finished. He meant one word that he had come to do was finished. His resurrection completed the work. He rose, and now we have an eternal hope. 1 Thessalonians. This is a wonderful passage in Scripture. I'm not going to be before you long, because we've got a lot to do, so y'all can help me out. But if I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as those who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and he rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that you who are alive, what? And remain. Will be caught up to meet him in the air. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. That's the lie. The dead are going to be resurrected. Why? Because Jesus got up.
Amen.
When the dead in Christ rise, then those who are alive and remain will be caught up to meet him together in the clouds. Amen. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Jesus' resurrection, not his death, sealed the victory. See, we get caught up on the cross, but it's the resurrection that makes the difference. We put him on the cross because he allowed us to, but he got up on his own. See, when he got up, it sealed it and completed the deal. For those of you who have just lost a loved one who are in the Lord, death hasn't been defeated because of that death. It was defeated because Jesus was resurrected. There'd be no reigning Lord if Jesus is dead. But what I find interesting is that they all knew the teachings of Jesus. They walked with him. They talked with him. They were able to sit with him and eat with him. They saw him when he was upset. They saw him when he was hurt. They saw him when he was happy. They heard him preach. He told them the end of the story before it even happened. But when they, on the third day, they still went to go and bomb.
Come on now.
I wouldn't have took anything with him. I said, we'll go over there, but he ain't going to be there because that's what he told us. But they got their equipment ready. Like we do when the phone rings, we get our equipment ready. They got themselves ready because they were going to embalm Jesus. They were going to get him to prepare him and embalm him. Am I right about it? He told them, I'll lay it down, my life. But in 3 days, I'm going to pick it up again. When they got there, they saw that the stone had been rolled away. And after 3 days in the tomb, Jesus rose with all power.
Rose.
And the Bible says that following that, for 40 days, he appeared to many people.
Yeah.
Right? Am I right about it? He appeared to his disciples.
Yeah.
And then he ascended into heaven. And he took the rightful place at his Father's right hand.
Yeah.
We have a reigning Lord.
Yeah.
Do you know that Jesus lives?
Yeah.
Do you know that he lives?
Yeah.
He lives.
Yeah.
And you ought to act like it. During our trials and difficulties that we have in this life, Jesus is still on the throne.
Hallelujah.
If he was dead, we'd be dead. If he was dead, his remains would be somewhere in Jerusalem.
Come on now.
If there was no resurrection, there was no reigning Lord. If he's dead, there's no intercession.
That's right.
Are you with me?
Come on.
There's no one interceding before God on our behalf.
Yeah.
See, the Bible says that he sits at the right hand of the Father, and he is constantly pleading our case.
Yeah.
Lord, give Tim one more chance. Lord, give Reverend Dad another chance. Lord, give Zach another opportunity to minister in the house. Give Zach another opportunity to bring in the house. He is constantly at the right hand of the Father, and he's pleading our case, even though he knows that the Lord has never died. He will be up there right now. If he's dead, there'd be no power in our you get up. walk around broke,
yes.
busted, disgusted, worn out, and tired. He got up, and we walking around here mad.
Come
he
on,
got up,
come
and we're walking around here holding grudges come against on, our husbands and our wives. He got up, and we're walking around here won't talk to people. He didn't get up for that mess. He got up so that we may have life and have it more abundant. So whatever sin that you need to let go of, God, that means they don't care who's looking at them. That means they don't care what folks think. That means that they have a need, just like the woman. She pressed her way through the crowd. She had so much faith. She said, I don't have to touch him. I just have to touch his soul. Amen. There's still time. Come on.
Thank you.